You guys can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to John chapter 16, verse 32. John 16, 32. Tonight's teaching is entitled, People According to God. People According to God. And we're going to just look at some of the cool things that God says about people. In John 16:32, it says, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me, what? Alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So Jesus Christ knew that people would run out on him, but he also knew that with God he would never be alone, right? He knew that those people would run out on him, but he knew that God would always be there with him. Go to Psalm 27, verse 10. And Jesus Christ dealt a lot with people. In fact, he had people following him around all the time. But in the end, those people would desert him, would be scattered abroad. And yet he wasn't alone. In Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And this is sort of a bit of an Orientalism here. Your father and your mother were known as the people who cared the most about you, right? Family was very, very important in those times. The father was the patriarch and the leader of the family and all the clan. And so what this verse is saying is that even when the people who care about you the most leave you, that God is still there, right? That God is still there. So even when the people who care about you the most run out on you, you're not alone. God is still there. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. So that is a very fundamental truth and one I think we all know pretty well. That no matter what, God is there. You're not alone. But with that in mind, I want to look tonight at what God says about people. Because even though sometimes you might feel alone, and even though you never are alone because God is there, God says some cool things about people. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, It is perfectly fine that man should be alone.
No.
No. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. I will make a helpmeet for him. Those previous verses assure us that we're never alone because God is there, even when people run out. But God also knows his creation. He created man. And when he created man, he saw that it wasn't good that he should be what? Alone. So he made more people, right? He made somebody to be there with him. And so God really wants us to be together, right? We're better together. Not alone, not by ourselves, but God saw that it wouldn't be good to be alone. He wants us to be with each other. We need each other too, right? People aren't perfect, but God wanted us to be with each other. Go to Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4, verse 9. So at the very beginning, at the very start, God wanted man to have companionship. God wanted people to not have to be alone. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. Two are better than just the single person. Because they have a good reward for their labor. And the word reward, there is a benefit, right? There's a benefit. And the word labor there implies work, okay? And so when you put it together, it says there's a benefit for the work that it takes to have another person around, right? It takes effort, right? It sometimes takes effort for people to be together or to take care of each other, right? But there's a benefit to it, and it's better that you're not alone. Two is better. Even for the hassle it sometimes takes, there's a benefit. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Right? So when we fall down, we can help each other. Right? We don't want to be left on the ground all by ourselves. We need somebody else sometimes to help pick us up. Right? We can help each other. And sometimes that takes work. But there's a benefit. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Right? You cuddle up with someone, you get nice, snuggly body heat. Isn't that nice? Better than being cold. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. So if somebody's being attacked, they might lose, right? They might be prevailed against by being just one. But two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly what? Broken. Referring to God. You and someone else and God is not quickly broken, because it's people standing together and believing God, right? That's a hard thing to break down. So there's a benefit to having other people around. Go to Proverbs 14, verse 4. We don't want to be alone. We want to be able to help each other. And this is a great proverb here in 14:4. It's not literally talking about livestock, as we'll see. But it says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Right? Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the what? Ox. Okay? And this is referring to people. Right? People are messy sometimes. Where the people are, it can get messy. If there aren't no people, if you're all by yourself, it's really easy to keep things tight. Right? You don't have any drama. You're all by yourself. You just have to worry about you. But there's no strength there. Where's the strength? Right? The increase is by the strength of the ox with other people around. The strength is having other people around, but it can get messy. Right? And that's just the way it is, because we're not perfect. God knew that, and he still made other people. Right? So God must think, well, the mess must be what? Worth it. Right? Must be worth it. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So yes, the fundamental truth is that God is always there for us, that we're never alone because we have God. But we can also have each other too. We can help one another, even if that's messy. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation or calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. God put us all together in the body of Christ, and his instruction to us is that we stayed unified, bonded by peace. Right? Like this little chain of peace signs I made here. Unified in peace. Right? God's intention is that we, as a body of believers, do our best to be unified. right? Unified in the bond of peace, because that's how we're the strongest, right? And that's what he wants for his people. He wants his people to live peacefully with one another in those ways, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's the how. That's how you do it, right? You don't act all high and mighty. You know, you put on meekness and lowliness. You long suffer. You put up with people. You forgive them. You're patient. You love them. Right? That's what works to keep that bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. But God called us to be a part of that body. He put us all here in a place. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet one body. Right? There's a lot of us, but we're all part of the same body of Christ. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I don't need you. You just help me pick up stuff. I'm the one who sees. I don't need you. Can't say that. Nor again, of the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That would be really tough. You can't walk anywhere, but I'm the head. I've got the brain. Right? You can't say that. We need those feet. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Right? Are necessary. And verse 21, it says, no need. I can't say I have no need of you, meaning you have nothing to contribute. Right? Every person has something to contribute. We can't look at other people and be like, you have no place here. Everybody has a place in the body of Christ. They all have a role. They all have a place. They all contribute in a specific way. And we can't say, well, I'm the eyeball. I don't need you. You have nothing to contribute. No, we all have a place. God called us to be in this body together, to serve a purpose. Go to Romans 8, 15. So God thinks that every one of his kids are important, that we all have a place. Aaron has a place. Well, Holden and Michael both have places. Just like Elizabeth, just like Rube, just like Carla, and all the Chrises. They all have places. That's right. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I mean, it's very simple, but we're all God's kids, right? We're all God. Every believer, in case you didn't know, every believer is God's kid. Right? Every believer is God's kid. Could you imagine walking up to, like, I don't know, a really famous person or the president and being like, I hate your kid. Right? That'd be kind of rude. Or just about anybody in general. Just don't do that to anybody. But can you imagine saying it about God's kid? Right? Every believer is God's kid. We're all important. Right? We're all important. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, 9. So yeah, we're all God's kid. That makes us all very important. We're part of a great big family. Colossians 2, 9. For in him, in Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in bodily form. And you, that's you and me, are complete. We're complete, completely, completely, absolutely complete, as it is, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, all rulership and authority. Every believer, Son of God, is complete. They have the potential to pray for you. They have the potential to work miracles, to receive revelation, to know if there's spirits around. Every believer has that. Every one of them. All the cool things that God can do for his people are in his people. Right? And that's why they're important. All the cool things that God can do for his people are in his people, in you and me. That makes each one of us super important. Can you pray? Yeah. So you're super important. Because when you pray, God can do great things, right? That's what activates the power of believing and God's power in our lives. Prayer is just one of those things. Operating the nine manifestations. That's stuff that we have to do, right? So people are important. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. And we all have long suits. There's all things that we're good at. There's things that we're not great at. Thank the Lord that Jess made dinner for everybody in advance of leaving. Because I wasn't going to do it. We'd all not be very blessed with that. That is not my long suit. Right? We all have a place. We all have things that we're good at and things that we're not so good at. In Romans 12, verse 4, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." So we don't all do the same thing. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness." These are all different, like, long suits, right? These are all things that different believers are good at, right? There are believers that are very encouraging, that say just the right thing at the right time. They're just really good at it, right? There are people that are very good at giving, right? They're always just looking for ways to give and to bless people. They see needs before you even know you have them, right? There are good people, there are believers that are really good at leading people and, you know, making sure that people's needs are taken care of, making sure things get done. All of these things are important. Verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Right? This preferring builds confidence in the people around us. Right? This preferring builds confidence in other people. Right? Sometimes you find believers who don't feel all that confident. Right? But if you prefer them, if you encourage them, if you help them, if you spend time with them, that's what helps build them up. Proverbs 18:24. Right? And that's important too, to help encourage each other. We'll get to that, don't worry. Proverbs 18:24. I mean, here's a very simple principle though. "A man that hath friends is the meanest man in the world." No, that guy doesn't have any friends. He's mean. "A man that hath friends must show himself" what? "Friendly." He's got to be friendly. "And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Right? So we don't want to be alone, and sometimes that means we have to put ourselves out there too, right? And that's something that some of us do struggle with. I'm a very introverted person. Right? So I have to put myself out there sometimes and say, "Hey, do you want to hang out? Do you want to be my friend?" Because I could also just sit there and wait around and hope that somebody says they want to be my friend. But I have to show myself what? Friendly, if I want to have friends. I'm better at it now. Romans 14, verse 19. But it takes work to put yourself out there. So those of us who excel in being extroverted can help those who are introverted, and those who are introverted can do themselves better by being friendly and putting themselves out there. That's how it all works together, right? We cover for each other. We help each other out. That's the point. Romans 14:19. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Right? Let us therefore follow after that. Follow after means chase down, right? If you follow somebody around, you're always sticking by them, right? Let's follow after, chase down those things that make for peace, that edify each other, right? We want to build each other up like little bricks. We never want to miss an opportunity to say something complimentary to somebody or edifying to somebody, to build them up, right? The world is what tears people down. We get plenty of "you stink" in the world. We don't miss a chance to build somebody up, to tell them what they do good, to tell them that you're thankful to them, that you love them. People need building back up because we live in the world. Right? So don't miss an opportunity to do that. Ephesians 4:29. And it goes hand in hand with this verse, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication. Corrupt communication is words contrary to the word, or that tear people down. Don't let that stuff come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. Don't let the tear down stuff come out. Let the build up stuff go out. Right? That's the way that we should be talking. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. When we manifested tonight, when we heard from God, spoke in tongues and interpret, did God say, "You suck? I saw the five sins you did yesterday"? Is that the kind of stuff that God told us? No. Did I do five sins yesterday? Probably. But that's not what God told me about. He told me that He loved me. He told me that He was always there for me. He told me He'd be His strength, or my strength. Right? These are the things that God tells us. Those are the things that we should talk to each other about. Speak to one another. Luke 6:31. Right? We need each other. And this is how God says that we should treat each other. Luke 6:31. Luke 6:31 says, "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." This is a really fancy way of saying the golden rule, right? Treat others how you would like to be treated. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. How do you want to be treated? That's the way you want to treat other people. And here's how we are to treat one another. Go to Colossians 3, verse 12. God gives all kinds of examples. We're just going to look at a couple of how we're to treat each other. But it really is very simple. Colossians 3:12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Right? Mercies is compassion. Right? Kindness is just that tenderness, that love. Right? We're to be patient with one another. We're to love each other and build each other up. And especially, we're to forgive one each other. Forgive one another. Right? We're to take care of each other and forgive one another. We need to forgive to be successful. Philippians 4:1. Philippians 4:1. Philippians, for those who don't know, is a reproof epistle. Okay? There's doctrine set forth in Ephesians, and Philippians is reproof. But here is how Paul, by revelation, addressed believers in a reproof epistle. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and what? Longed for, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Right? Paul looked at them as beloved, as a joy, as his crown, something he was proud of, something he would gladly put on display. These other believers in a reproof epistle. Right? We forgive each other and we love each other and we treat each other as important no matter what's going on. Sure, sometimes we screw up and we need to be reproved. But man, we have to love each other and forgive each other when we do. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. That's how God wants us to treat each other. First Thessalonians 2:17. Just a couple more verses left. Home stretch, as it were. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But what happened? Satan hindered us. If you wanted more proof about how important we all are to the body and how important it is for us to be together, all you need to know is that Satan wants to stop it. Right? Satan wants to get in the way with it. It's got to be a good thing. It's got to be a good thing. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Right? It's our glory and joy. We need to be together. We need to take care of each other. Philippians 1:3. Philippians 1:3. And at the end of the day, this is how Paul felt and how we should all feel about each other. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, that we're just thankful for the other believers, right? For all of their messiness, for all of their wonderfulness. We're just thankful for them, for the things that they contribute. We're going to close in Psalm 133. Psalm 133, 1. Psalm 133, 1. Right? And this whole situation that's going on in the world with the coronavirus and everything else is just more proof that the adversary doesn't want people together. Right? Be better off if we were all 600 feet apart. Right? That's what he wants. But we need each other. Psalm 133, 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. How pleasant. That's what God wants, right? God wanted a family, and a family is a whole bunch of people, right? God wanted us to all be together. He didn't want us to be alone. He's got our back, even when everybody else runs away. But he wants us to be together. He wants us to love one another. So that's what I wanted to share.